Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort. Jim is down at Augusta National, taking in the Masters once again this week and writing columns from down there. And Jim, a young, slender, left-handed player has caught your eye a little bit.
Yeah, fascinating story. Actually, Bhatia, I don't think I'm getting it right. I screw it up all the time, even though I've tried to pronounce it a million times. It's not his fault, it's my fault. This is a weird game, you know? It's a weird sport. And we see things, even after 150 years of baseball being played, we still see some things that we've never seen before. And that was one of the really cool things about covering baseball on a daily basis is, yeah, some days nothing happens. Some days everything happens, including something that's never happened in the game, in the history of the game. Well, I don't think we've ever seen this combination. Bhatia, good young player, 22 years old, played his first tour event when he's 17 on a sponsor's exemption, ended up qualifying, winning a PGA Tour event last year and getting his card. Really skinny, young guy, a lot of personality, and he's dominating the tournament, and Denny McCarthy has one of the greatest putting rounds and one of the greatest back nines on Sunday that we've ever seen to pull into a tie with him. He has to make a birdie putt on the 18th, Bhatia does, to extend it to a sudden death playoff. Mm-hmm. And when he's celebrating that tying putt, his left shoulder pops out. He says it's a chronic problem. It dislocates momentarily, slides back in. It also hurts like a lot. So he goes, hits his driver pretty well on the playoff hole, then starts telling officials that he needs his trainer to come out. Trainer comes out, works on his shoulder, takes him like someplace private, takes his shirt off, tapes him up. He goes out there and he hits a wedge to like 10 feet, makes the birdie putt to win the tournament, which late on Sunday afternoon makes him the last qualifier for this Masters. So he ends up, you know, getting to Augusta about 1:30 in the morning. And he, just to top off the bizarreness of all this, then his press conference, which was just hastily scheduled for him on Monday afternoon, happens to occur during a solar eclipse.
The stars were aligned, apparently, for him there. You know, I don't know if Denny McCarthy is in the field. Did he make the Masters field?
Yes, he did. He's a pretty good player, and he's an excellent putter. I've just never seen a putting exhibition like the one he put on Sunday. He was six down, and he made up the six shots on the – and Bhatia was still playing well, but McCarthy was making everything.
Yeah. And then McCarthy threw one in the drink from 100 yards on the playoff hole.
Because it's a stupid game, Todd.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's why I play it as much as I do, because I'm not all there myself half the time anyway. So the Masters continues to be great to talk with Jim while he is down there all week. Jim, the national championship for the men goes to UConn. Dominant fashion. 12 tournament games the last 2 years. They've won every one of them by double digits. What a program UConn is putting on right now.
We love the idea of March Madness being unpredictable, and both chalk favorites won and won the championships easily. South Carolina was the best team all year. They won the championship easily. UConn was the best team, has been the best team for the last 2 years. They won easily. They were not challenged in this tournament. And Hurley is just two things are happening here. Hurley is a truly great coach. Mm-hmm. He's good at everything from recruiting to inbounds plays. His team played so intelligently. They did everything they needed to win that game, including breaking the press under pressure late. They make great decisions. So testament to Hurley. It's also, I don't think men's college basketball is very strong anymore. Mm-hmm. I think just a really well-run program like UConn's can dominate because of it.
Yeah, he gets guys to come back for multiple years, although I guess he does have some different players this year. But boy, it seems like that's going to be the key to me, is not just recruiting good players, but keeping the good players you recruit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure there's going to be one template anymore. You know, some people are going to win by getting people and getting them to stay. Some people are going to get the most out of their one-and-dones. But not having somebody, you know, let's face it, Ben Johnson's done a lot of things well with the University of Minnesota.
Yep.
If Jameson Battle had stayed last year, it might have been a tournament team. Probably would have been a tournament team.
Yeah.
If Farrell Payne had stayed for next year, they'd probably go into the Big Ten season favored to be a top half of the conference team, which would probably get them in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. Two key losses in 2 years has just made everything harder for him. Hurley, You know, my guess is with the it's almost, that's one of the things I don't like about college sports is it's set up to help those who win more. Mm-hmm. You know, where pro sports is set up where if you lose, at least you get a high draft pick or something. Mm-hmm. You know, UConn now, I mean, everybody wants to play there, and Hurley's going to continue to get great players.
Yeah, parity has never been something the NCAA has worried about.
No, or had a mechanism for enforcing.
Yeah, yeah. And then the women's game, 18.7 million viewers. Most watched basketball game of any kind since 2019. The power of Caitlin Clark, but a rising tide lifts all ships. So hopefully this means that the women's game continues to draw viewers like it has with Caitlin Clark. I'm sure it will. Maybe she's the zenith, but I would think that the ratings would be a lot better now than they had been previously.
It's going to be fascinating to watch because, mm-hmm. you know, when I'm just blanked on her name. It's terrible. You know, when U.S. women's soccer was at its absolute peak,
yep.
we thought that would lead to an increased popularity of soccer in the United States. And it helped a little bit, mm-hmm. but it didn't become really a groundswell. Mm-hmm. The Lynx in Minnesota being a dominant team doesn't mean that Lynx games are attended all that well today when they aren't winning, you know, mm-hmm. so... I do think that in this case, culmination of a number of factors. Of course, Caitlin Clark is the leading reason.
Yeah.
But we've also seen Dawn Staley build a budding dynasty. She's won 3 national titles in short order, and her team probably would have won it the season was wiped out by COVID. She's a great, dominant coach. You still have Geno around and kicking. You still have Paige Beckers in the game. Mm-hmm. Juju Watkins is going to be an amazing, she's already an amazing player as a freshman. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, South Carolina has, Tessa Johnson's going to be a star. You know, there are a number of players on the South Carolina team that are going to be stars. They are setting the standard, and people taking shots at them is a lot of fun to watch. I would say the average college women's basketball game is so much better today than it was 10, 20 years ago in terms of depth of talent, interest, atmosphere. So I do think that women's college basketball is having more than a moment. I do think it's more like a movement.
Yeah, it's the product is so much better than it was 20 years ago. No doubt about that. I'm hearing talk. Some think that Dawn Staley should be considered for the Kentucky men's job. What do you think about that?
You know, I think it would be cool. Mm. I know she could do it. You know, one cool thing you find out spending a lot of time around basketball players at all levels is there might be men out there who don't, like, think women can do that job or should do that job. Mm-hmm. Men's basketball players are probably the most likely to think she could do that job. Mm-hmm. They, you know, so many men appreciate the women's game. They love the WNBA. They love what they saw this spring in the women's game. Dawn Staley commands respect from everybody she meets. I certainly think she could do it. You know, to me, the question is not could she do it. The question is would somebody hire her to do it?
Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting question, certainly. And I've even heard the Charlotte NBA job potentially, although I wouldn't wish that on her. That is not a good situation.
And that's the question that she would have to address if she ever got that kind of offer. Mm-hmm. First of all, does she want to give up what she's built at South Carolina? Because she's not only built a great program and a great team, she's also built a huge support system down there. Fans, media, she's very inclusive, she's very accessible. She's built something that could become, you know, legendary in that game. Mm-hmm. Does she want to give that up just to go to a bad NBA team? Just to go to a, and here's the other thing. I would not recommend her going to Kentucky. Kentucky has run Tubby Smith and John Calipari out of town.
Yeah.
Both of whom won titles there. It's a brutal place to coach, even if you're just a white male. So I would not recommend that on her. I would say if she wanted to go to the men's game, she would probably be better off waiting for the opening at the University of South Carolina and then proving she can coach the men's team there too.
Yeah. Jim, thanks so much.
Thanks,
Live at 5 Sports at Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort.